Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Maseches Yuma daf Lamed Tes. Today's shiur is sponsored by me, Lezecher, the yahrzeit of my grandfather, Rav Ari Shlomo ben Rav Moshe Yitzchak. May the learning be in Aliyas Neshama for him. In any event, we are a little bit way behind, actually, in the middle of Lamed Chesam Abeis. At the start of this year, we're going to continue talking about various relationships between Tzaddikim and Rasha'im, contrast between Tzaddikim and Rasha'im. The perek is then going to conclude with some statements about the distinction between somebody who sets out to be metame himself versus somebody who sets out to be metayer himself, and the either assistance or ambivalence which is offered to that person from up above, from Shemayim. The fourth perek in the Masechta is then going to begin, and we're going to go deeper and deeper into the service of Yom Kippur, and it's going to start by explaining exactly what this procedure was of Taraf Pakalpi, of drawing in the lots to determine which of the Shtei Asirim would be La Hashem, and which would be La Azazel. The Gemara is going to talk about then certain Nisim, which used to happen during the Bayis Rishon, which didn't happen, or certain Nisim rather that used to happen during the Kahuna Gadol of Shimon HaTzadik, and the fact that those Nisim stopped after the Kahuna Gadol of Shimon HaTzadik, and then the Gemara is going to talk about what happened after the Tkufa of Shimon HaTzadik, and ultimately what happened closer to the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, as far as all of these Nisim that used to that had previously occurred in the lifetime of Shimon HaTzadik. But a bunch of interesting stuff. We are on Lamed Ches Amud Beis, pretty much in the middle of the Amud. We are 10 lines, 10-12 lines approximately from before the lines get very, very wide. So we're going to start from Amar Rabbi Lazar. Amar is the second word on the line. It's right below the hay in the Torah R. So Amar Rabbi Lazar, Tzadik dar ben shnei rishon v'lo lama me'aseyem. We find an incident in Tanakh of a tzadik who lived among two rishon, did not learn from the Maisa Rishos, and Rasha dar ben shtei tzadikim v'lo lama me'aseyem. And we also find a Rasha living amongst two tzadikim and not learning from their good deeds. So tzadik dar ben shnei rishon, who was a tzadik who lived between two rishon v'lo lama me'aseyem, is Ovadia. That's Ovadia. If you look at Rashi says Hayadar ben Achav Izevel. So Ovadia lived between Achav and Izevel, and nevertheless he was a great tzaddik. He didn't learn from their ma'asim. Rasha dar ben shnei tzaddikim lolama me'maseihem. And we have an incident in Tanakh of a Rasha who lived among two tzaddikim, did not learn from their good deeds. Ze Esav. That's Esav, who lived among Yitzchak and Yaakov, and yet did not learn from their good deeds. V'amar Rav Elazar, Mibirchasan shel tzadikim, ata lamed klala l'rishayim. There's something about the relationship of tzadikim and rishayim, that when one is high, the other one is automatically low. When one is low, the other is automatically high. So from the bracha given to tzadikim, from that bracha itself, we learn a klala to rishayim. Miklalasan shel rishayim, ata lamed bracha l'tzadikim. And conversely, from the klala of rishayim, we learn a bracha to tzadikim. So what's an example? So Mibrachasan Shal Tzadikim Ata Lamed Klala L'Rishayim Dichsiv Ki Yedatev. This pasuk is talking about Avram Avinu. Ki Yedatev L'man Asher Yitzave Dichsiv Basrei V'yomer Hashem Zakas Dom V'amora Ki Rabba, that he was going to destroy, Kadosh Baruch Hu was going to destroy Sodom because their iniquities were so great. So the pasuk seamlessly transitions from saying something good about Avram Avinu to criticizing Sodom. So that's how we see that from the bracha of tzaddikim come the klala of rishayim, and now vice versa. Umi klalasan shal rishayim atalamed bracha letzaddikim. From the klala of rishayim, you learn a bracha to tzaddikim. Dichsiv v'anshei Sodom roim v'chatoim laHashem. The pasuk is speaking ill of the anshei Sodom. V'Hashem amar el Avram achrei yifrid lot meimo. And after and right after that, Hakadosh Baruch Hu says to Avram how he's going to inherit all of this land, etc., etc. So we see literally that the pasuk seamlessly transitions from speaking good about Avram to speaking bad about Sodom, and then from speaking bad about Sodom to once again speaking good about Avram Avinu. V'yamar Rav Elazar, and Rav Elazar says further, Afilu b'shvil tzaddik echad olam nivra. The world was created even for the benefit of just one tzaddik. Shenemar. ki tov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw the aura, the light, and it was good. This is obviously a pasuk brought down from the Seder Bereishis. Ve'ein tov el tzadik. And what is tov? Tov here is a reference to a tzadik. In other words, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw the aura ki tov, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw the light of a tzadik, and it was pleasing to him. Shenemar Imru Tzadik Ki Tov, like the pasuk says, Imru Tzadik Ki Tov. So we see the juxtaposition between the word Tzadik, the word Tov, that just for the Ki Tov, just for the benefit of one Tzadik, the world is roy to have been created. V'yama Rav Elazar, Kol HaMishkeach Davar MiTalmudo, anybody who forgets anything that he learned, Gorim Golus Labanav, he causes the children to go into exile. Shenemar V'tishkach Toras Elokecha, that you forgot the Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Eshkach Banecha Gam Ani. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to forget his children, Kaviyachol, and place them in Gullus. There's a direct correlation between forgetting your learning and then being exiled. Revavo Amar Maridinos Amigdiloso. Not only do they go into exile, but also they are removed from whatever position of prominence they enjoy. Shenemar Kiata Haidosa Maasta Vamasecha Mechahen Li. That you have forgotten what you've learned, and therefore you are disgusting to me, and I will remove you from your position of prominence. I will remove you from your position of serving me. So we see that somebody who forgets HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah is taken down from his position of gedula. Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan. Ein tzadik nifter min ha'olam ad shenivra tzadik kamoso. A tzadik does not pass from this world until another tzadik comes to this world to replace the departed one. Shenemar v'zarach ha'shemesh uba ha'shemesh. The pasuk uses a very strange terminology when it talks about the sun rising and setting. The pasuk first talks about v'zarach ha'shemesh, about the sun shining, and only after that does it say uba ha'shemesh, that the sun sets. If the pasuk was talking purely chronologically, If the pasuk was talking purely chronologically, it would have spoken about the sun setting before the sun shining. So I mean, because the sun has to set, then a new day has to dawn before the sun shines again. So why the transposition in the pasuk? So ad shelo kafsar shimsho shel eli zarcha shimsho shel Shmuel haramasi. But that's the point, says the Gemara. It's coming to teach us that there is never a time when the world lacks the light and the brilliance of a tzaddik. That before the shemesh, before the light of Eli dissipated and set, the son of Shmuel HaRamasi was shining brightly. And that's why the pasuk says, first, V'zarech HaShemesh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees to it that there is another tzaddik who is causing the world to be filled with light, and then Uva HaShemesh. Then the first tzaddik who was there, whom the second tzaddik replaced, as it were, can recede into darkness, and he can set. His light can set. V'yamar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Rav Yochanan, Ra'a HaKadosh Baruch Hu sheTzadikim Muwatin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that there would be very few tzaddikim, Amad Vishitlan Bechol Darvadar, and therefore he planted a few tzaddikim in each generation. He dispersed them among the generations. Shenemar Ki LaHashem Mitzuke Aretz, that to Hashem belong the pillars of the world. VaYashas Aleihem Tevel, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu sets the world upon these tzaddikim. So if you look in Rashi, Rashi says VaYashas Aleihem Tevel. Pizron b'chol adoros, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu scattered them among all the generations, lios, shosos, v'kiyam, v'yesod, l'kayim, tevel, so that they could be literally a support for the world, so that the entire creation could be supported. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu dispersed the tzaddikim among many, many generations. V'yamar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, afilu b'shvil tzaddik echad olam miskayim. Forget about the world being created. The world is sustained even for the benefit and in the schus of one tzaddik, of a single tzaddik. Shenemar, v'tzaddik yisod olam. That a tzaddik, in the Lashon Yachid, v'tzaddik yisod olam, is the pillar of the entire world. Rabbi Chiya didei amar, Rabbi Chiya on his own right says, mehacha, the limud is learned out from here, ragle chasidav yishmar. That Kadosh Baruch Hu will guard the ragle chasidav. And chasidav, again, the Gemara is going to say is a Lashon Yachid, but says the Gemara, Chasidav is Tuva Mashma, but Chasidav is not a Lashon Yachid. Chasidav, we know, is a Lashon Rabim. So how do you see from here, a raya that HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes the world to be sustained on account of the schus of one tzaddik. We see maybe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes the world to be sustained on account of the schus of many tzaddikim. But how do we see here one tzaddik? Zamar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Chasidav Ksiv. It says Chasidav without a yud, and that therefore is read as a Lashon Yachid, and Ragle Chasidav Yishmar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu guards the world for Chasidav, for his single tzaddik. Okay, so V'amar Rav Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, now four lines up from the bottom. Kivan Sheyatsu Rov Shnoso Shalodam V'lo Chata, when if the majority of a person's life passes and he has not yet sinned, Shuvei Nechote, he will no longer sin, because it's as if he has a chazaka that he's not going to sin. Shenemar Ragle Chasidav Yishmar, as the Pasuk says, Ragle Chasidav Yishmar. But how in the world do we learn out that once a person passes a majority of his life, he's not going to sin from the pasuk of Ragle Chasidav Yishmar? So Rashi explains that the regel, if you're counting, if you're basically taking inventory of the body parts from most important to least important, so obviously you always start with the head. You start with the head, which is the top or the first of the organs of the guf that a person would count, and the last part that you would get to is obviously the regel. So it's Ragle Chasidav, the regalim of the raglayim of the chasidim, the tail ends of the bodies of the lifetimes of the chasidim, meaning the last parts of the lifetime of the chasidim, Yishmar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu guards over them, rather. So from there we see that by the end of a person's life, if he has not yet sinned, he's not going to sin. V'hasiyata d'shmaya, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to see to it that he doesn't sin. The Marashah explains differently and says, Ragle Chasidav Yishmar, Ragle, not from the Lashon of Regel or Raglayim, from the Lashon of Regilus, that once a person passes the majority of his lifetime and he hasn't sinned, it's a regilus, it's already inherent in him, it's hardwired in him that he's not going to sin. And that's the point, that's the notion that we said a second ago, a moment ago, about that he's already got a chazaka almost, that he's not going to sin because of the regilus. His baseline behavior is to not sin. Debei Rabbi Shila Amri, Debei Rabbi Shila says, if a person has the opportunity to sin with a Dvar Avera one time, two times, and he doesn't do it, he doesn't succumb to the pressure, he is not going to sin, he is not going to later sin in that Avera. Shenemar Ragle Chasidav Yishmar. As it says, Ragle Chasidav Yishmar, that once a person has a chazaka as a chasid regarding a certain nisayon, he's not going to fall prey to that nisayon any longer if he's presented with the opportunity to sin for a third time. Amar Reish Lakish, my dechsev, what does it mean when it says in the pasuk im leleitzim hu yalitz, that for the jokers, for the leitzim hu yalitz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will permit them to make a mockery? And Rashi points out hu yalitz means HaKadosh Baruch Hu will just stand back, he won't assist them nor will he prevent them. Ula anavim, but for those who are humble, yitain chayin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give chayin. So we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking an active role regarding those who are humble, but just basically standing back regarding the leitzim and letting them do whatever in the world it is that they might want to do. So from there we learn that b'metame, poschen lo, we give him the opportunity to be metame. However, we don't assist him, but we don't restrict him from being metame himself either. But ba l'tayr, if a person comes to be metayr, misayino, so then we actually help him. He has a siyata d'shmaya to be metayr himself. Zatana debay Rabbi Shmuel, mashal yodam shu mocher naft ve'afar simon. It's like a person who sells nafta, which is a very foul smelling smelling solvent, vafar simon, and balsam, which is a very nice smelling thing. So balim do nafta, if a person comes to measure nafta, if a customer comes into his store and wants to measure out the pitch to buy the nafta, samar lo medod ad talatzmacha. So the shopkeeper tells him, I'm not going to make myself stinky. You measure it out yourself if you want. And that is the equivalent to saying that balatame, poschen lo, we give him the opportunity, but we're certainly not going to offer our assistance because we don't want to be soiled ourselves with the smelly scent. But bo limdo rafar simon, if a person comes to measure out balsam, he wants to buy some balsam, and it's a beautiful smelling spice, samar lo hamtainli, so the shopkeeper says, wait for me, acha emdo dimcha, that I will measure it out with you, kadeshin is basem ani va'ata. so that both of us together, both you and I, can perfume ourselves with a wonderful smell of the balsam of the afar simon. And that's the equivalent of bal letayer mesayinoso. That if a person comes to me matar, if a person wants to deal with the wonderful smelling spices, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is actually going to assist him in getting where he wants to be. So it's under the Beit Rabbi Shmuel, Aveira mitamtemes libo shel adam. Aveira is metamtem the lave of a person. Shenemar velo tetamu behem vinit mesem bam. It says regarding averos and the things that we're not supposed to do. It says velo tetamu behem, do not defile yourselves with them. Vinit mesem bam, and become tame with them. But al tikre vinit mesem, do not learn out vinit mesem with an aleph. Ella vinitamtem. Do not obstruct yourself with these averos. So the pasuk over there, and generally the idea, the concept of timtam alev, deals with ma'achalos asuros. That you're not supposed to feed ma'achalos asuros to somebody, and there's a problem of timtam alev, even if the person, let's say, is a katan, even if the person is not mechuyev in mitzvos himself, and therefore even it could be that this timtam alev could be caused, even if a person has to eat ma'achalos asuros on account that he's in a situation of pikuach nefesh. Then the Shulchan Aruch, it's clear that what is actually metamtem alev is not simply an avera stam, but rather it's machalos asuros, and therefore says the Shulchan Aruch, you can be medayik from the Shulchan Aruch, that if the problem is in the machalos asuros, there is an inherent problem in the machalos asuros that is metamtem alev. It's not the fact that the guy is being over an avera and eating the machalos asuros. It would come out that even if there's a permission, even if it's permissible to eat machalos asuros, for example, for a situation of pikuach nefesh, you still have to worry about and calculate into the shiloh whether or not you're going to let the person eat the thing, the idea of timtam alev. It's also apparent that the idea of timtam alev on account of machalos asuros is contingent upon the michal actually being usur and not on there being an isur gavra. For example, an isur achil on a tanis, as opposed to an isur machalos asuros, because the thing that the person needs in order to satiate himself and he's in a situation of pikuach nefesh is a piece of chazir. If there's an actual isur chefza, that's what we're talking about when we talk about machalos asuros being metamtem, as opposed to something being simply an isur gavra. Either it's a fast day and it's also for me to eat, or I just ate fleishiks and can I now eat milchiks? So it's a different calculus. So said Rabbi Leibowitz seven and a half years ago. So Tana Rabbanan, says the Gemara Vayter, Al tatamu ben venit mesem bum, Adam mitame atzmo ma'at, mitame no so harbe. That if a person wants to be mitame himself a little bit, then he'll be able to be mitame himself a lot. Why? Because haba letame poschen lo, we give him the opportunity. Milamata, mitame no so milamala, biolam azeh, mitame no so liolam abba. Tana Rabbanon, viskadashtem, conversely, viskadashtem v'yisem kedoshim, adam mekadesh atzmo ma'at, mekadshin oso harbei, milamata, mekadshin oso milmala. If a person is mekadesh himself milamata, it'll be mekadesh himself milmala, v'yolam hazeh, mekadesh oso li'olam haba. And if a person is mekadesh himself in olam hazeh, he will ultimately become mekudesh in olam haba as well. So the Mepharshim explain what we're talking about here when we say that milamata mekachinoso milamala, that if a person wants to sanctify himself, he often thinks that he's going to seek divine inspiration and he's going to be struck with his divine inspiration right away off the bat. But the Gemara is saying that the key to benefiting from a divine inspiration is first to be mekadesh yourself milamata, first just conduct yourself in an appropriate manner. Regarding the way you comport yourself with other people, regarding your behavior with other people, regarding morality, bein adam lechaveiro, what you eat, just the way you behave. Once you're mekadesh yourself milamata, it's going to be easier to find inspiration milmala, because first you have to start by perfecting yourself as an individual, then you can move on from seeking real inspiration from HaKadosh Baruch Hu legabe dvarim shelamala. Hadron alach amar lehem hamemuna, and now we begin the fourth perek in Maseches Yuma. So the Mishnah is going to teach us about the protocol for the kalpi, for the lottery, through which the kohen designated a seir la'ashem and a seir la'azazel. So taraf bakalpi, so the kohen would grab in the kalpi, so what does it mean that taraf bakalpi? So Rashi explains that taraf means, taraf is a lashon of haste, it's a lashon of grabbing, that the kohen gadol has to grab the lot hurriedly and not deliberately. Rabbi Nechananel explains somewhat similarly that that the Kohen Gadol has to be Torah, he has to shake up the lottery box to make sure that the lots are jumbled up in the box. And the truth is, the reasons for the Shita of Rashi and the Shita of Rabbi Nechananel are the same. The point is that in order for it to be called properly a Goral, it has to be left to chance. The Kohen cannot know in advance which lot he's picking. And that's why, according to Rashi, he has to snatch it hurriedly so that he can't focus and try to feel around for the lot that, on which it was inscribed, La Hashem or La Zazel. And according to Rabbi Nechananel, he has to shake up the box so that he shouldn't put the two lots in. He'll put the La Hashem lot on the bottom. If he doesn't shake them up, he'll know if he reaches for the bottom lot, he's going to find the La Hashem lot. So in order to make it into a real lottery, you have to be Torif Bakalpi. Why would the kohen care which lot comes out La Hashem and which lot comes out La Azazel? Because we'll see in a minute, the way that the kohen would do is he would stick both hands into the box, pull out one lot with his right hand, one lot with his left hand, and it would be a big siman yafeh if the lot La Hashem came out in his right hand. That's why the kohen, absent these precautionary measures, might be incentivized to try to feel around and game the lottery to ensure that the lot for La Hashem falls out in his right hand. So Taraf Bakalpi, so he has to shake up the lottery box or snatch out the lot quickly. The Helesh Negarolos, he would raise up the two Garolos, Echad Kasav Alav La Hashem, Vechad Kasav Alav La Azazel. One would have the Shem Hashem written on it, and one would say La Azazel. Haskan Bimino, the deputy Kohen Gadol would be on his right side, Varosh Beis Av Mismolo, and the head of the Beis Av, who would otherwise be serving that week, were it not Yom Kippur, would stand on his left side. Imshal Shem Allah Bimino, if the Lot La Hashem was drawn in the coin's right hand, Haskan Omer Lo, the Skan would say to him, Ishi Kohen Gadol, Hagbe Yemincha, raise up your right hand. Vim shall shame Allah Bismolo, and if the lot of Hashem came up in the Kohen's left hand, Rosh Beis Av Omer Lo, the Rosh Beis Av would say to him, Ishi Kohen Gadol, my master the Kohen Gadol, Hagbe Smolcha, and he would raise your left hand. So basically, whoever was standing on the side of the Kohen Gadol that on which the lot for La Hashem was drawn would say, Ishi Kohen Gadol, raise up whatever hand it was, and show everybody that you've drawn the lot La Hashem. So Nasdan al Shtei Asirim, that he then puts it on the two Sirim, Vi Omar La Hashem Chatas. And he says, La Hashem Chatas. So the Tosfos Yeshonim just explains over here, interesting, he says that that we know Lagabe Nedarim, there's a halacha. If you wanna say that you're gonna give a karban, that if you wanna make an adava, you should say karban La Hashem and not La Hashem karban. So what's the reason? So the reason is, maybe you'll die after you say the word La Hashem, and you're going to be Motzei Shem Shemayim Levatala. So because La Hashem just alone is Shem Hashem, La Hashem Karban is a sentence that has meaning. So in order to avoid putting yourself in a situation where you might issue the Shem Hashem from your mouth Levatala, we make the formulation Karban La Hashem as opposed to La Hashem Karban. Now, so therefore, why over here does the Kohen Gadol say La Hashem Chatas and not Chatas La Hashem? So it says the Tosfos Yeshonim, yeah, I mean, that would make sense, but the problem is the Psukim say Asher Allah Alav HaGorol La Hashem, and then after that it says in the Pasuk V'yaso Chatas. So from the Psukim themselves, we see a remez that the formulation that the kohen is supposed to use is La Hashem Chatas and not Chatas La Hashem. There are other shitas that say that the only thing the kohen says is La Hashem. He doesn't actually say La Hashem Chatas, he just says La Hashem. So if you're just saying La Hashem, you don't have to be concerned that the kohen is going to die after he says La Hashem without completing the pasuk, because the entire designation that the kohen was trying to make was in saying La Hashem. So in any event, he says La Hashem Chatas. Good. Rabbi Shmuel Omer Lo Yitzorich Lomer Chatos Ela Lashem. So that's the sheet of Rabbi Shmuel that we just alluded to, and that's why you're allowed to begin the phrase by saying La Hashem. So Veheinon and Achrav, and if everybody around the Kohen Gadol, after they heard the Kohen Gadol say the Shem Shemayim, the Shem Maforash, Veheinon and Achrav Baruch Shem Kol Mechuso Liolam Vaed. Okay, so says the Gemara, Lama Li Taraf Bakalpi. Why do we have to mix up the lottery box? Gehechid Lo Nekavin Velishkol. so that he wouldn't, so that he couldn't engineer the lottery, so that the lot LaHashem would be drawn with the Kohen's right hand. That's why we have to shake up the lottery box, or that's why, according to Rashi, we have to cause the Kohen to snatch the lottery, the lot, in a hurried manner. So Amar Rava, Kalpi shel Eitz Haitza, the Kalpi was made out of wood, v'shel Chol Haitza, it was Chulin, in other words, it was not the Klei Shares, v'ena machzakas elashtei adayim, and it would only be big enough so that you could stick two hands in it. So Matzkev lo Ravina, so Ravina asks Akasha, bishlam v'ena machzakas elashtei adayim keichad l'kavim v'lishkol. I understand that it had to be sized very, 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 very carefully, because if you're going to make the box too big, the coin naturally is going to be inclined to grope around in the box and try to figure out which one is the lot LaHashem, so he could draw it with his right hand. But if he's in tight quarters, he's not going to be able to manipulate the lots, and therefore whichever one falls in his right hand, he's going to pull out. Ela shalchol nikacha. Why was it shalchol? Why was it chulin? Why wouldn't they consecrate? Why wouldn't they sanctify the kalpi box? So im kain havelei klei shareis shaleitz. No, because if so, it would be a klei shareis made out of wood. The klei shareis the eitz lo avdinan. And we don't make a klei shareis out of wood, because ein anias b'makom ashiros, in the Beis HaMikdash, we don't have anias, we don't have kelim made out of eitz, rather we only have kelim made out of gold and silver and precious metals. Also, there's a pasuk that says, lo sita lecha asherah kol eitz, eitz el mizbach Hashem, and from there is a makar that you shouldn't make the kli shareis out of eitz. So the Ritva says, first of all, what are we talking about here? We're saying that im kain havela kli shareis shel eitz. There will be a kli shareis made out of eitz. So the Ritva says that we'll see. We probably won't get to it until tomorrow, but we'll see that there are mandi amrim who say that the drawing of the kalpi is not actually an avoda. If it's not an avoda, then the kalpi itself wouldn't have the status of a kli shareis. So why are you afraid that you're going to think that a kli shareis could be made out of wood? What we're doing here is not an avoda to begin with. So what's the concern here? So that he explains that even though it's not an avoda per se, it's like we've been saying all the time about shechita, whether it's avoda, lav avoda, you know. Just in other words, even though it's not really an avoda, it's designated that a specific service connected to the avodas Yom Kippurim would be performed with it. And it's basically samach la'avoda, since it's so close to an avoda, it shouldn't be made out of wood. Alternatively, if they see that the kalpi is made out of wood, they're going to assume not only can the kalpi, which is for a maisa, which is not an avoda, be made out of wood, but so too a bona fide klei shareis, which is for an avoda gemura, can also be made out of wood. So that's why, in order to safeguard against that, we say no. The kalpi cannot be consecrated, because if it was consecrated, they would think that a klei shareis could be made out of wood. That's why it was known that the kalpi was chulin. So says the Gemara, well, what's the problem? Why was it made out of wood? V'navda de kesef, v'navda de zav. Why don't you make it out of gold or silver? Says the Gemara, Torah chas al mamonim shal Yisrael. Because the Torah is sympathetic to Klal Yisrael spending a lot of money. How do we learn this? So Rashi says, we know that if a person thinks that his house might have tzaras, and he calls the kohen to check his house, the first thing that they do is they clear his house of all of his possessions. Why? Because if the kohen designates the house as being tamei, while all his possessions are in the house, and all his possessions are going to become tamei. So the Torah is concerned with the money of Klal Yisrael and advises the person who's having his house checked for tzaras to take out his kalim. So if the Torah is so concerned when it comes to a person's kalim, when it comes to a person's insignificant kalim, certainly to impose an obligation to make kalim in the Beis HaMikdash out of gold and silver, certainly the Torah is going to be chasal mamonim shal Yisrael, and is not going to put Klal Yisrael in a position where it has to be spending money hand over fist like that. So says the Gemara, Vayter. So remember, in the Mishnah we had outlined the procedure for drawing the lot. So masnis and deloki aitana. The Mishnah is not like this Tana, the Tanya. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, Haskan v'koin gadol, machnis and yadam bakalpi. That it wasn't the koin gadol who would stick both his hands in the lottery box. It was the skan and the koin gadol who would each stick their right hands in the lottery box. Imbi minoshal koin gadol ola. If the lot LaHashem came up in the Kohen Gadol's right hand, Haskan Omer Lo, Ishi Kohen Gadol, Hagbe Yemincha, the Skan would say to him, Master of the Kohen Gadol, raise up your right hand. V'im b'yimino shal skan ola rosh, v'im b'yimino shal skan ola, and if the lat la Hashem would fall out in the right hand of the skan, so rosh beis av omer lo, l'koin gadol, dabar milech. The rosh beis av would say to the Kohen Gadol, speak your peace. What does it mean, speak your peace? Designate the appropriate animal, designate the appropriate seir la Hashem. So why is it that, so v'nemalei skan. So why doesn't the skan say this to the Kohen Gadol? In other words, if the skan says to the Kohen Gadol, when the lat la Hashem comes out in the Kohen Gadol's right hand, that the Kohen Gadol should raise up his right hand and show it to everybody. So when the lot winds up in the skan's right hand, the skan should say to the Kohen Gadol, Dabar Milech, speak your peace, say La Hashem Chatos. So says the Gemara, Kibon de lo solik biyadei chol shadaitei. No, it's not derech eretz, because since the lot, La Hashem, did not fall out in the Kohen's right hand, rather in the skan's right hand, if then the skan is directing him to say La Hashem Chatos, a little bit of a slap in the face to the Kohen that it didn't fall in the Kohen's right hand, he's going to feel very badly about that. So says the Gemara, b'mai kamifilgi. So what are the? So we see basically that the Mishnah is not like this Tana, because whereas our Mishnah says that the Kohen Gadol uses both his hands, the right and the left, this Tana says that no, the Kohen Gadol uses his right hand and the Skan uses his right hand. But b'mai kamifilgi, says the Gemara, what exactly are they arguing about here? So Mar Savar Yamina de Skan Odif Mismole de Kohen Gadol. One man the Yamar says that doing an avoda, even though we said that it's not an avoda, but doing any service in the Beis Hamikdash, doing any act in the Beis Hamikdash with your right hand is preferable to the alternative. It's better than doing something with the Kohen Gadol's left hand. And the other said, no, you know what? No big deal, that there's no difference between the right hand of the skan and the left hand of the Kohen Gadol. And if there's no difference between the right hand of the skan and the left hand of the Kohen Gadol, then what we ought to do is have the Kohen perform the entire service, just like all of the avoda, the entirety of the avoda on Yom Kippur is performed through the Kohen Gadol. Therefore, the Kohen Gadol should perform this avoda as well. So uman haytana to palagalea to Rabbi Yehuda, and who's this Tana who argues on Rabbi Yehuda? It's Rav Chanina skan hakohanim. The Tanya Rav Chanina skan hakohanim Omer. Rav Chanina skan hakohanim says, Lama skan mimino. Why does the skan stand on the Kohen Gadol's right side the entire day throughout the entire Avodas Yom Kippurim? Shem ira ba psul b'Kohen Gadol nichnas skan meshamesh tachtav. Because if the Kohen Gadol has a psul, the skan will enter and serve in his stead. So it's mashma from Rav Chanina skan hakohanim that the only role that the skan played on Yom Kippur was a contingency role. Why was he there? If anything happened to the Kohen Gadol, the skan would step in. No mention of him having any role in the Goral. So we see that it's Rav Chanina skan hakohanim, who is a Tana, whose view is reflected in our Mishnah, that the entire lottery process was performed solely by the Kohen Gadol without the assistance of the skan. Tana Rabbanan, says the Gemara, Arboim shana shishime shimon atzadik. The 40 years that Shimon HaTzadik served as the Kohen Gadol, Hayagorol Ola Bimin, the Gorol would fall out, Lashem would fall out in the coin's right hand, which was a Simon Yafeh. Bikan Ve'elech, from then on, Pamim Ola Bimin, Pamim Ola Bismol. Sometimes it would fall in the coin's right hand, sometimes it would come up in the coin's left hand. Vayalashon Shel Zahoris, the Lashon Shel Zahoris, the thread, the red thread that they would tie between the horns of the Sir La'azazel Malbin, would always turn white. Mikan ve'elech pamim alben pamim einam alben. Sometimes it would turn white, signifying that Klal Yisrael was atoned for all their sins, was forgiven, and sometimes it would not sin, it would not turn white. So vayanerma ravi dolek. In the days of Shimon HaTzadik, the nerma ravi would be dolek. Mikan ve'elech pamim dolek pamim kiva. From then on, sometimes it would remain lit, sometimes it would be extinguished. So what does this mean? So basically what we see from the Pesukim, Rashi goes into it in a little bit of an arichas, but what we see is that the first light that the Kohen would light would always be the Ner Ma'aravi. The first light that he would light at night would be the Ner Ma'aravi, and even though he lit that one first and put in an identical amount of oil in each lamp of the menorah, the Ner Ma'aravi was also the last light to go out. And the Ner Ma'aravi, says Rashi, was a sign, the lighting of the Ner Ma'aravi, the fact that it remained lit, was a sign that the Shechina was Shoreh on the Beis HaMikdash. That's why it was a Siman Yafeh in the days of Shimon HaTzadik. The Ner Ma'aravi would always remain lit for longer than any other light in the menorah. Which light was the Ner Ma'aravi? So Rashi explains, well, it depends. There's a machlokas, how the menorah was oriented. So the menorah, we know, was in the southern side of the Beis HaMikdash, but there's machlokas whether it was oriented in an east-west axis, that the candles were on an east-west axis, or on a north-south axis. According to the Ma'ariv, it says that they were on an east-west axis, so the Ner Maravi, oddly, is not the westernmost candle, rather it's the first candle after the easternmost candle. So in other words, the Ner Maravi would be the second candle of the seven in the menorah. And according to the Ma'ariv, it says that they were on a north-south axis. The Ner Maravi would be the middle candle, and it was called the Ner Maravi because the flames of the three on top would point towards the middle. The flames of the three on the south side would point towards the north, and then the middle one would point towards the west, towards the Kodshe Kodshim. So in any event, in the days of Shimon HaTzadik, we had this nace, the Ner Maravi would always remain lit. Via Esha Maracha Mizgaber, and the Esha on the Mizbeach would always be strengthened, it would be like a burning bonfire. V'leya konim tzrichin lavi etzim l'maracha chutz mishnei gzira etzim k'dei l'kayim mitzvas etzim. And the Kohen would never have to bring wood to replenish the fire, except for the Shnei Gzirei Eitzim that they were mechuyev to bring as part of the Yaseder Avodah. Each and every day, they would have to bring the Shnei Gzirei Eitzim, but otherwise, wood for the Maracha did not have to be bought because the fire remained perennially lit. Bikan ve'elech, Pamim is Gaber, Pamim Einim is Gaber. After the days of Shimon HaTzadik, sometimes the fire was strong, sometimes it wasn't strong. And the Kohanim, therefore, could not take off, could not prevent themselves from bringing Eitzim L'Maracha the entire day. In other words, the fire on top of the Mizbeach always required the additional fuel of the Eitzim that the Kohen brought to the Maracha. V'nishtalcha bracha be'omer uv'shtei alechem uv'lechem apanim. And there was a bracha sent to the Omer, the Shtei Alechem, and the Lechem upon him. V'chol Kohen Shemagia Kazayis, and any Kohen who received a Kazayis worth of these breadstuffs, Yesh Ochlo V'Sava V'Yesh Ochlo Moser. There were certain Kohanim who ate it and they were satiated, and certain Kohanim who ate it and they had to leave some over because it was so filling. That was the extent of the bracha on these. On these things. Mikan va'elech nishtalcha me'ira ba'omer v'shtei alechem v'lechem upon him. After the days of Shimon HaTzadik, there was a curse that befell the Omer and the Shtei Alechem and the Lechem upon him. V'chol kohen magio kipul, any kohen who received the size of a pul, which is smaller than a kazayis of a bean, hatznuin moshkan es yedeim. The tznuin wouldn't eat it at all. Now, why wouldn't the tznuin eat it at all? Because they understood that there's only a mitzvah sachila if there's a shir kazayis. They didn't have a shir kazayis. They didn't have a shir kazayis anyway, and so therefore there was no purpose in eating a shir of that size. Well, in that case, if there was no purpose in eating that size, so why did they divide up the bread to all the kohanim if they were giving each kohanim a measure of less than a kazayis? So the answer is that by kachem we know that there are generally two mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah of achila and there's a mitzvah of yehei nechal. So for the mitzvah of Yehei Nechal, there still is a mitzvah that the lechem upon him and everything be eaten, even though whoever's eating it isn't necessarily getting a mitzvah sachila because that person is eating less than a kazayis. But nevertheless, the tznuin would refrain from taking any portion of the lechem upon him. V'agargonim notlin v'yochlin, and the gargonim, the gluttons, would take the lechem upon him and they would try to eat it and sate themselves with it. And there was a maisa with a certain kohen who took not only his chelik, but he grabbed also the chelik of his friend. But your kohen also ben chamtzan ad yomoso, and they used to call him ben chamtzan. Rashi touches up as a gazlan until the day of his death, and the mafarshim just explain it's pretty obvious. But the Ian Yaakov says that when we refer to ben chamtzan, it doesn't mean that he's the son of a chamtzan. It's like when we say ben Torah, we're not referring to the fact that his father's name was Torah. We're referring to him as a ben Torah. So too, we're not referring to the fact that this guy's name may or may not have been chamtzan, or that he's the son of a robber. Rather, he's a robber himself. So Amar Rabba bar Rav Shila, Mikra, how do we know that there's a source in Psukim for the fact that Gezel is called Chamatz? So Elokai, Palteni Miad Rasha, Mikaf Ma'avel V'chomet. So we say, save me from iniquity and robbing. So Rava Amar Mehacha, Limduei Tev, Dirshu Mishpat. You should seek justice. Ashru chamotz, support those who have been robbed. Ashru chamotz, va'al ta'ashru chometz. That support those who have been robbed, don't support those who rob. So we see in the psukim a source for the fact that gezel equals chametz. So Tanur Rabbanan says the Gemara Vayter, Osa shana shemes b'shimen atzadik, that year in which Shimon HaTzadik died, Amar Lam, he said to them, B'shana zu humes, he said, euphemistically speaking in the third person about himself, he said, I'm going to die this year. How do you know? And this was after he finished the service on Yom Kippur, after he finished the Avodas Yom Kippurim, he said to those assembled among him, around him, I'm going to die this year. So they said, how do you know you're going to die this year? So he says as follows, every Yom Kippur, when I walk into the Kachay Kachim, I saw a Zaken Echad, Lavish Lavanim, V'yatuf Lavanim. He was wearing white, which is a symbol of purity and Tara, and he was wrapped in white. The Tosfos Yeshanim says that this Zaken Echad was like, it was sort of like a quasi-Nevuah, just like the Nevi'im would experience a Nevuah, and they would sometimes ascribe physical characteristics to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The person that Shimon HaTzadik saw was actually an allegory for the Kavod HaShechinah. So what he was seeing, sort of metaphorically, was the Kavod HaShechinah dressed up as an old man all in white. Nichlasi mi, he would enter the Kachay Kachim with me, v'yatzei mi, and would also follow me out of the Kachay Kachim. V'hayom, however, today when I did the Avodah Lefnai V'lefnim, nizdamin li zachin echad lavushchorim v'yatav shchorim. I saw an old man dressed in black and wrapped in black, and shchorim are big day avelas. So nichnasi mi velo yatzai mi. He walked in with me, but he did not come out with me. Achara regel chala sheves yamim umeis. After the regel, he fell ill for 7 days and he died. V'nimnu achiv akohanim levarech b'shem. And the kohanim refrained from being mavarech with the shame hamavarech. They felt themselves unworthy of being mavarech with the shame hamavarech because once Shimon HaTzadik died, the kedusha of the Beis Hamikdash decreased a little bit. So Shimon HaTzadik was right; he was able to perceive when he was going to die because of what he saw generally when he walked into the Kachay Kachim and what he saw that year when he walked into the Kachay Kachim. Tan Rabbanan, Arbam Shana Kodem Churban Abayas, 40 years before the Churban Abayas. Lohaya Goril Ola Bimin. The Goril would never fall out in the right. The Goril Hashem would never come up in the right end of the Kohen Gadol. Lohaya Lashon Shel Zohores Malbin, and the Lashon Shel Zohores would never turn white. Vlohaya Nerma Ravi Dolek. The Nerma Ravi would never stay lit all the time longer than any other candles. Vlohaya Dalsos Aechal Neftachos Me'alan. And the doors of the Heichal would open on their own, as it were, to invite the Churban. They were basically opening involuntarily to invite the Churban and to invite people to come in and besiege the Beis HaMikdash. So basically, Achagorbo Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, until Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai got upset at the doors of the Heichal, Samar lo, Heichal, Heichal, b'mnei ma'ata mavis, atzmecha. Yodiyani b'chashe sovcha asid licharev. I know that you're going to be destroyed ultimately. V'kfarnis nabe alecha Zechariah ben Ido. And Zechariah ben Ido was already misnabe. That Pesach levanon dalsecha, levanon, which we'll see is a reference to the Beis HaMikdash, open up your doors. V'tochal eish ba'arzecha. And let the fire eat your cedar trees. But still, don't do this prematurely. So we see that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was upset at the doors of the Heichal. So basically, what we see from here is that during the days of Shimon HaTzadik, all of these simanim yafa, all of these good signs would always happen, right? The Goral would always come out in the right hand of the coin, and the Nerma Ravi would always remain lit, and the Mizbeach would always have a sufficient fire. After Shimon HaTzadik's death, sometimes it would happen like that with the Simon Yafa, sometimes it wouldn't happen like that with the Simon Yafa. 40 years before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, in other words, for the period after Shimon HaTzadik's death, but the last 40 years that the Beis HaMikdash stood, these great Simonim Yafa never ever happened. Okay, so says the Gemara Vayter. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak ben Tavloi, Lamanik Roshmo Levanon, why was the Beis HaMikdash called Levanon? Shemalbin Avonoseim Shal Yisrael, because it whitens the Avonos of Klal Yisrael. Amar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia, Lamanik Roshmo Yar, why was the Beis HaMikdash called Yar? Dechziv Beis Yar HaLevanon, as it says, Beis Yar HaLevanon, Yomer Lecha, to tell you, my Yar Melavlev, just like a forest blooms, Af Beis HaMikdash Melavlev, so too the Beis HaMikdash blooms, in what respect? Demar Rav Hoshia, because Rav Yeshia says, when Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash, he planted in there all sorts of fruit trees made out of gold, and they would basically create fruit at the time of their harvest. They would basically create fruit according to their regular schedule. The Kivin Sharuch Menasheves Bam, when the wind would come and blow the trees, Hayinoshrim Perusayim, the Perus would fall, Shanemar, Yirash Kilvanon Peryo. that the rustle of the wind causes the Lebanon to drop its peros, umehem haisa parnasa lekohanim, and the Kohanim would be mefarnes themselves from these golden fruits that used to drop when the wind blew at the time of harvest. V'kibah shenichnasu avdei kochavim lehechol, when the avdei kochavim came to the hechol to destroy the Beis Hamikdash, yavshu, these fruit-bearing golden trees all dried up, shenemar uperach Lebanon umlol, the flower of Lebanon, in other words, these gold trees umlol were devastated. However, V'yasad HaKadosh Baruch Hu lachzira lanu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to return those trees to us and they will bloom once again. Shenemar paroach tifrach v'tagel af gilas v'ranein kavod halvanon nasan la, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give back this this ability to the trees that will once again come in the Beis HaMikdash with a Bayis Shlishi. So we'll continue. We will continue with the procedure for the drawing of the lots and the designation of the Sir LaShem, Sir LaZazel, God willing, tomorrow.